Tonight we're going to talk about the sin of the tongue. The sin of the tongue. Words are valuable, aren't they? Words can either build up or words can tear down. So let's review from last week, and that's from James chapter 2 and verses 14 through 26. And James says here that what we do reveals who we are. And we could also go into tonight's text, and what we say also reveals who we are. Secondly, what James is discussing here is not simply have a set of beliefs and intentions. He is discussing the foundational belief of saving faith. Genuine faith in the profession of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is evidenced by more by what He does than by what He claims. James is saying, you say you have faith, okay, that's good. You say you got it, all right. You make a profession of faith, good. But I'll show you my faith by what I do. And then number four, or we kind of summed it up. A person that professes Christ but does not live a Christ-honoring, Christ-obeying life is a fraud. Let's look at James 2:17, and then we'll look at verse 26. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. And then verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So now let's look at verses 1 through 12 of James chapter 3. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect or mature or grown up man, and able also to bridle or control the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold, or look at also the ships, which, though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth or makes the boat go. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. The tongue is a fire, world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith blessed be God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude or image of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? Can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? So now, chapter 3, now begins a new discussion. And that is temptations that are prone to all of us, especially those that teach. Because if you look here at verse number 1, it says, brethren, be not many masters. That word masters is translated in other translations of being teacher. And then secondly, in chapter 3, James is now addressing those that teach. And that teachers are always held to a higher standard. A teacher, preacher, pastor, deacon, elder are always held to a higher standard. if a deacon is absent from church for a Sunday or two, guess who they're going to come to? Me. What are they going to ask? Hey, where's Deacon Jones? Where's Deacon so-and-so? He is a deacon, right? Shouldn't he be in church because he's a deacon? Why? Because those in leadership are always held to a higher standard. So let's look at number one. Point number one is simply this. If you desire to teach, be careful. Because teachers are always held to a higher standard. The ESV has it translated as this. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers. For you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. So here, let's look real quick at the job of a teacher. Now, here's something to throw out here. How many of you in here are teachers? Okay, you're a teacher? You're a teacher? Where are you a teacher at? School. Where's school? Where's school? You're home. Yeah. We only have two? All right, let's see how many is here tonight. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. We have 18 teachers in here. You teach. Everyone in here teaches somebody. Y'all do. And how do you do that? By how you live. If you're a parent, you teach your children. If you're a grandparent, you're teaching your grandchildren. Understand what James is saying here about teaching, and what he's, the type of teacher he's talking about here is teachers in churches, Sunday school teachers, pastors, evangelists. That's what he's talking about here. But I'm going to go a little step further here and say all of us are teachers. We all teach. Now, what is it? What is the job of a teacher? Number one, you teach what is right. Teach what is right. If a math teacher is to get up and teach in school, 1 + 1 = 3. What are you going to think? That teacher is stupid. Probably teaching Common Core. Okay? No, you think, man, that teacher is not teaching right. 1 + 1 = what? 2. You teach what is right. But then the second thing is you correct when the student is wrong. You correct. Okay? There are certain coaches that when I'm umpiring, I'm like, I wish he would just get quiet. Because all they do is yell. They yell at the players. They yell at me. They yell at the other coaches. All they're doing is yelling. But then there's other coaches that talk just like I'm talking now. If they have a concern about a call, they'll request time. They'll come to me and they'll talk just like we are now. There's one particular coach. I love to watch this guy. He coaches baseball, coaches soccer, and he coaches basketball. During the game, he says absolutely nothing. He just stands there. Just watches. And then in a timeout or in between periods, he's teaching. And he says, okay, guys, that dribbler there got through here. We need to make some adjustments. We need to force him to shoot from the outside. Okay, let's not foul. Okay, we don't need to do that. Keep your hands to yourself. Okay, he's teaching. He's correcting. He's teaching what is right, but then He's correcting when they are wrong. A teacher is also responsible for what he or she teaches and will be held accountable. That is what James is saying here. James is saying that you will be held to a greater judgment for what you teach. And then fourthly, if the teacher fails to live what he teaches, he or she will be held to a greater judgment. You've heard the saying, do as I say, not do as I do. That is a dumb statement. That is dumb. Because what you're telling the child, I'm a hypocrite. Okay, I'm a hypocrite. I don't live what I teach. So how in the world do you expect your child to do what is right when you're not living right? Because inconsistency always breeds rebellion. So we must be consistent. Letter B, teaching is a high calling. If you are called to teach, teach. If you feel that God has called you to teach, teach. Do it. Well, I feel like I'm called to teach, but I don't want to teach. Well, then you're not being obedient to God. If you're called to teach, teach. Look at what Paul said here in Ephesians chapter 4, 11 and 12. And He gave some. God gives us apostles, prophets, and some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers. Why does He give them to us? For the perfecting or the maturing of the saints. For the work of the ministry. Look, I cannot teach in here on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock and then go down the hallway and teach the teenagers at the same time. I wish I could. I wish I was omnipresent, but I'm not. I cannot be in two places at the same time. So you know what I need? I need teachers. This church needs men, needs women, needs couples that will rise up together and be teachers. We'll teach children. We'll teach teenagers. We'll teach men. We'll teach women. We'll teach couples. We'll teach. Why? For those three things. So that we will grow as Christians. So that the ministry will work. And for the building up, the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ. The teacher's main tool for teaching is his speech. So now that's where we transition from teaching to talking. So you teach with this, but you also teach with this. Here's an old saying. Your talk talks, your walk walks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. You ever heard that? It's very, very true. You never heard it? Yeah. Now, sometimes I'll say it too fast and I'll get it all twisted up. But the teacher's main tool for teaching is his speech. But now, let's go to transition now to verse number 2. Let's look there before I give you what number 2 is. For in many things we offend all. Now, I appreciate what James says here. That we sin, and we sin a lot. Okay? I had a great conversation with a dear sister in Christ today, and I said, you know, as pastor, I'm going to make mistakes. I'll make mistakes. And I said, all I can do is after I make a decision, and it's a bad decision, is own up to it and move on. And I failed to do this in y'all's membership class this past go around, but I try to start off every membership class with this. You are not joining a perfect church. And you are not going to have a perfect pastor. And if you are looking for a perfect church, you're not going to find it here. And when you do find the perfect church, don't join it. Because you're going to mess it up. Okay? But note the term here. It says in verse number 2. The term is that we all offend. So the point of number 2 here is the tongue stumbles and sins often. How many of you, as soon as those words tumble out of your mouth, you want to just reach right out and grab them and stick them right back in? Oh, it happens to me all the time. All the time. So the term here, we all offend, means that all of us sin and offend with our speech. Okay? I'm going to have to go ahead and tell you right now that there may be times where I will say something to you and it may come across as being rude. It may offend you. It may hurt your feelings. So I'm going to go ahead right now and apologize. Okay? I guarantee you it will happen. Why? I'm flesh. I sin. And if I do, please come to me and say, "Pastor, I don't think you meant to say this like this, but this is what you said, and it really offended me." And I will be the first to say, "You know what? I did not mean that." I may from time to time say something stupid from the pulpit. Probably have, probably do, and probably will continue to do that. Why? I'm a sinner. That's what James is saying here. James is saying that all of us will sin and offend with our speech. No believer is ever able to completely control his tongue. So here's a key point. The tongue speaks what is in the heart or mind. Our speech will either justify or condemn us. Let's go to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew 12. Keep your little whatever that thing is there. The little, what is that called? Ribbon? All right. I call it thingy. Thingamabob. Whatchamacallit, thingamajig. Matthew 12, 34 through 37. "A generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." You ever said something, and then you apologize and say, "You know, I really didn't mean to say that." Christ says here that what was here came out here. You were thinking it. That's why you said it. "For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." So now, let's go to verses 3 through 5. "Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold, the ships be so great." And then verse 5, he says that even so the tongue is a little member and boasts of great things. "Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth." You know, all it takes is a spark. All it takes is a spark from a campfire to get blown over onto some dry grass, and acres could be wiped out. Homes could be wiped out. So let's now look at number three. The tongue is a little member, but it boasts great things. It boasts great things. Note the two illustrations. It talks about, number one, the bit that controls the horse's mouth. It one of the sporting events that I count off on my calendar is the Kentucky Derby. It is often called the most exciting 2 minutes of sports. I love to watch it. I love to watch those beautiful creatures run like they do. But they are controlled by this. That amazes me. Here is a horse controlled by a bit in its mouth. But then look at the second illustration. He talks about a small rudder that controls a ship. Just a small little thing can control a huge boat. A couple of points here. Boasting or bragging can be subtle or it can be loud. Either way is destructive. Boasting about yourself is either subtle or loud, but it can be very dangerous. Secondly, boosting lowers one's image in the minds of others. Or it makes the listener feel less of a person. I don't think anybody in here likes to be around a person that's braggadocious. Because what does it do? It lowers the image of that person than the others, but it also feels like, wow, they must not think very much of me. Because all they think about is whom? Themselves. So now, let's go to the next verse. Y'all convicted yet? Well, get ready. Verses 5 and 6. Even so, the tongue is a little member, verse 5. Even the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. When you think of iniquity, what do you think? Filth? Corruption? Sin? James is saying here, your mouth is full of corruption, is full of sin. It is a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. So, three things here. The first thing is this, is it defiles the whole body. What goes out here reveals what is all in here and what is all in here. Okay? I have to catch myself watching a game or something. And I'll say this, a particular athlete from another team is up. I was watching the Ryder Cup Sunday, and there was one particular guy on the European team that just gripes me to no end. And did you watch any of it, Jeff? You didn't? You were too busy playing golf, so you missed it. You were trying to act like them, right? Or play like those guys? Yeah. Do you know who I'm talking about? But you know what player I'm talking about? Yeah, he knows who I'm talking about. We were talking about him on Friday, texting each other. He grips me to no end, and I was sitting there in the living room. I said, oh, I hate that guy. And Morgan said, Dad, what? You're not supposed to hate. Okay. I strongly dislike that guy. But it defiles the whole body. Next thing is this, it inflames the whole life. It inflames. And then thirdly, it's a source of hell. Now, when we think of who is in hell, who's in hell? The bad people or the people without Christ? Who will ultimately be sent to hell to live there forever and ever? Satan. So who is the source of all the bad things that come out of our life, out of our mouth? It's our sinful nature. And what we reveal, what goes out of this, what we are revealing is our sinful nature. But look at what Paul said in Ephesians 4:31. He said, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor or fighting and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Most of the words that come out of this are words of anger, words of irritation, malice. Paul says, let it be put away from you. Put it away. You know, when we tell our children, put the toys away. Put them away. That's what Paul is saying here. Put away. And it's not by coincidence that Paul puts evil speaking in the same category as bitterness, wrath, anger, and fighting, all in the same category. And then the next thing is verses 7 through 12 of where the apostle or James says that the tongue is a restless evil. Verses 7 and 8 talks about how certain animals can be tamed, but the tongue cannot be tamed. We can tame lions and tigers, bears. What's that? Yeah, I think that. Yeah, you've been watching The Wizard of Oz again, haven't you? We can tame all those things. Fish at SeaWorld, killer whales. Y'all need to go to the Voyevich's house. They got like a menagerie over there with parrots and okay. It's a zoo. Control all those things. It's amazing we can control animals, but we can't control a little bitty thing that's inside of our mouth. The tongue is unruly. When we say that a child or a person is unruly, what do we mean by that? Can't be controlled. That person is unruly. It's like a mob. They're an unruly crowd. We cannot control them. Our tongue cannot be controlled. Thirdly, it must be controlled by believers. We must control it. Couple of verses here. Proverbs 13:3 says, "He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips." In other words, he that has a big mouth shall have destruction. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Now, I do not have this on your handout for space, but I'm going to give you. I didn't? You don't have the applications on there either? You do. Okay. All right. In what ways do we sin with our tongue? gossip, critical speech, harsh words. Here's a couple more to add. How about your blogs? How about social media? How about texting? So you will say in a text what you won't say to somebody's face. You'll say in a text about somebody, but you won't say it to that person about that person. You'll say it in a text. Why? It's silent. See, when we are critical of others, when we gossip about others, when we do those things, what we are saying is, I am better. God created me better than He created them. That's what we're saying. We must be so careful. Nick Saban said that he brings in, before the draft, every year, he brings in NFL scouts into the Alabama football team, and they show on the screen tweets that players that would have been drafted in the first round drop down to third, fourth, fifth, sixth round. Some of them didn't even get drafted for tweets or Facebook messages that they posted. And once it's out there, folks, it's out there. Okay? Blogs, texting, email, social media. What do I mean by that? Your Facebook, your Twitter, your Instagram, your Snapchat. Proverbs 16:28 says, a froward man or a perverse man spreads strife, and one who gossips separates intimate friends. Gossip. So let me give you four applications. Application number one. Be careful with what you say and how you say it. I have to be corrected on that. Sean will say, Dwayne, you were exactly right by what you said to Morgan and Bradley. But it's how you said it. Our tone, many times, what we say is exactly correct. But our tone could be a tone of anger, a tone of irritation, a tone of aggravation. Our tone. Number two, refrain from gossip. Refrain from gossip. You know, if a church member is living in adultery, we'll have church discipline. We'll approach that person. Are you living in adultery? Yeah. But you need to get out of it. Well, I don't want to get out of it. All right, you got a week. So then I'll go get David Hobson, Jeff Rust. We'll approach it. Or her. You're living in adultery? Did you get out of it? I already talked to you. Nope, and I'm not. All right, we're going to have your church discipline. We're going to vote you out. Okay, vote me out. So we have a business meeting. So-and-so is living with this person. We've approached them. They're not going to get out of it. All right, let's have a vote. He's out of here. Okay. And we move on. But you know what? We need to do that with gossip, too. Because gossip does just as much damage, if not more. Because 9 times out of 10, the gossip is a lie. And what do I have addition to here? I say, refrain from gossip, and listening to it is just as sinful as starting it and spreading it. Y'all have heard me talk about Wade Holder. I think probably the only person in here that knows Wade, that knew Wade, is Ennis. I don't think anybody in here else knew Wade Holder. I knew Wade for, let's see, I was 16 when I met Mr. Holder. He died 2 years ago. So over 30 years, 34 years, I knew Wade Holder intimately. Of those 34 years, I never, and I think Ennis could speak to this, never heard him say a bad word about anybody. I asked his daughter. I said, Karen, I said, of your growing up years, have you ever heard your daddy say a critical word about anyone? And she said, no. Never. Number three, if you have an issue with a fellow or brother and or sister in Christ, practice Matthew 18. What is that? You go to them. You go to them. I so much appreciate church members that when they have a concern about a decision that I've made, they come to me. Pastor, I have a concern here about this. Are you sure you want to go in that direction? Yes, I do. Okay, well, I'm going to trust you as our pastor. I'm going to trust you. Instead of going to Jeff. Hey, Jeff, I really don't think our pastor is making a good decision. And by the way, if I was the pastor, okay, not good. Do not go to others with your issue. That is gossip. And number four, what you post on social media reveals who you are. Be careful when forwarding things on your Facebook, Twitter, etc. Just because it's on the internet does not mean it's true. Okay? There are bloggers out there that have nothing else better to do with their time except sit around and nitpick and try to come up with things about others. Okay? I don't have time to read the blogs. I just don't. And most of the time, 9 times out of 10, it's not true anyway. Okay? So just be careful. Be careful. Let's go to Ephesians 4:29. I'm sorry I've gone over time. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying or building up, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Let all bitterness, verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you in all malice. But look at verse 32. And be ye kind one to another. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Wow. I don't know about you, but when I prepared this for tonight, I got convicted. And I had to do a lot of confession of sin. Because so many times I have said things that, yes, they were true, but they were in the wrong way or they were wrong in the wrong environment. Words of gossip. You know what a lot of prayer meetings turn into? Gossip. You know, we need to pray for so-and-so. Well, why? Well, you didn't hear? It's gossip. You've got to be careful. It's not good for the body of Christ. So let's control the tongue. Let's control what we say. Father God, thank you for this evening. Thank you for this study. And Father, now dismiss us with your blessing. Help us that when we say things, Father, to say them in the right way. Words of gossip help us to refrain from those sorts of things. Dismiss us, and I pray for this upcoming weekend that your name be honored and glorified here. be with those traveling, be with the Saggios, the Macias, and Pastor Ken and others that will be traveling. I pray that you would just protect them and help them on the road, make the crooked path straight for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.